It is time for another edition of Mondays with Mike here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. What questions do you have about programming or news coverage on WPR? What do you want to hear more of or less of? What programming hits the mark? What could use some work? What are you curious about? Let's talk about it this hour. You have a line, 800-642-1234. Join us by email, ideas at WPR.org. Tweet us, WPR Mornings. Mike Crane is director of Wisconsin Public Radio. Mike, good to see you. Welcome
good morning.
Back.
Yeah, it's so good to be back.
Let's talk first about Superior, and we're going to talk a little bit here about the morning show and how we went to Superior to do this live remote broadcast in the northernmost bureau. Why do you think it was important for WPR to have a presence?
Well, we have a presence all over the state, including in Superior from the wonderful folks that work there. But I think we'll all admit here that in Madison, sometimes it's good to get out of here. We can tend to kind of close in on our own way of viewing things, and it's just great to get around the state. I know every single time I visit any of our bureaus or go to a listener event, wherever it is, I learn a lot more. The people that are there appreciate that we're there, and it's just... And I know you had the experience, right, that going to a different part of WPR and a different part of our state enriches all of us. And so I think that's a really good reason for us to go.
Well, let's bring in our producer, morning show producer, Laura Pavin, who went along in this field remote to Superior. Hi, Laura.
Hi, Kate.
So, you know, this was, of course, neat for us and our executive producer, Keely Boltina, who really put the logistics on this together. We got out into the community, and every day after the show, we would be like out in the field, if you will. I mean, going from one place to the next, and it was hopping. So you've brought some takeaways. And what stuck with you?
Oh, I mean, I keep thinking about Lorena Rios Mendoza, the microplastics expert, because we basically learned from her that plastic is literally in everything. Like, it's in the air that we breathe. And I was talking to her before she came on the show just to talk to us about her research. And she was telling us how she lives a plastic-free life, and it's really hard. Like, plastic is everywhere. I mean, she looks at microbeads in particular, but, like, beyond just asking for paper instead of plastic when you go to the grocery store, you know, you have to think about like the bottles of stuff that you buy. Like, you know, if you buy shampoo, like, what do you have to go for, a glass bottle? Like, everything is plastic. And so I love talking to her. We also went to Middle River in northern Wisconsin to learn about a very disgusting fish, parasitic fish.
Tell us what you really think.
Called the sea lamprey. Like,
it's
still in my brain, the visions of it. And I didn't even see one in real life. I just Googled it after learning about it. And they have these disc-shaped mouths, and they've really left an impact on the Great Lakes fishery. And so, there were a lot of things that I took away. You know, how Superior's water makes for a very superior tasting beer. it was really nice to get out in the community.
Well, let's hear a clip of that sea lamprey moment.
Yes. So one of the days that we were there, we went to, as I said, Middle River, northern Wisconsin. And Sean Lewandowski, he's a biologist with U.S. Fish and Wildlife, took us to this dam where they set up traps to catch the parasitic fish. And here in this clip, he's telling us why we do not like the sea lamprey.
Basically, the reason that we don't like sea lamprey in the Great Lakes is that in their juvenile stage, they're actually parasitic. So, like, when they're swimming around in the Great Lakes, they actually will attach onto large-bodied fish, and they're a parasite, so they actually can rasp through their skin, then they suck out their body fluids. And obviously, that's not good for the fish.
Obviously not good for the fish.
And we're standing there on the banks of the Middle River looking at this water gushing over what looks like a dam, but it's a dam to stop these sea lamprey.
Yes. And I think actually when we were talking to him, I saw something out the corner of my eye, and I was like, is that a sea lamprey that just tried to jump, like make the jump from the dam? And he was like, oh, it's a steelhead. And so occasionally I think the sea lamprey can get up there, but like it makes it really hard for them to be able to migrate upwards, which which is really important to, you know, keeping the population in check.
And Mike, one of the big reasons we wanted to be in Superior at this time, at this moment, was the anniversary of the Husky explosion and fire. And we had spent quite a bit of our time on Friday on that anniversary talking about it. And so, Laura, you also brought in a clip from our reporter, WPR reporter Danielle Kading. Can we take a listen to that?
Yeah, absolutely. In this clip, like, so to kind of set the scene here, we had talked to emergency response officials about the emergency response on the day of and, you know, how the community has sort of been, you know, making it since the Husky refinery explosion. And then we kind of turned the mic on Danny to talk about what it was like on the day reporting on it. And so here is a bit of that.
You know, I headed over to the Superior Fire Hall and I saw them in the station watching what was happening on TV and talking with people fighting the fire there at the refinery. It was nothing I had ever seen before. And people had started to evacuate. The streets were crowded. It was hard to get around in your vehicle. I was trying to get back to the command center, and I was trying to get to the station. It's something that you don't want to see your community go through.
I saw the human side of a reporter.
Yeah, I mean, she's not just a reporter in Superior. She's a member of the community, and so it really had a profound impact on her.
Yeah, had a profound impact on the community, and I remember hearing at a distance the reporting that she was doing and the help that we needed to provide from our Eau Claire Bureau, because there was a point where the area where our studios were was evacuated. Mm. So she was, in that sense, a part of the story. And, you know, one of the things I admire so much about reporters and Danielle being just one of them is, not unlike first responders, they head toward trouble. And you can hear in that really touching quote how that has an effect on a reporter. And so all the more reason that we should value the work they do for us, especially in times of crisis.
Mike, do you see future opportunities for Madison-based shows to get out to the regions?
Oh, absolutely. You know, sometimes it's not going to be an on-air thing like you did and taking a whole group, but even if it's just one or more of our hosts attending a listener event or something like that, it changes us to be a part of the state and not simply in our studio. I mean, the studio is kind of cool. Mm-hmm. You know, in addition to having the opportunity to talk on the radio with you, to be able to talk in person makes a real difference. So we'll keep doing it.
And Laura, as we wrap up here on Superior, what are some takeaways that you have for people to best share their stories with you and for keeping that Superior close to us in that region?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, getting in contact with us via like ideas@WPR.org is a good way to kind of send us tips and let us know what you want to hear about in your community. Or you can email me directly, laura.pavin, P-A-V-I-N, at WPR.org. So there are multiple ways to get in touch with us, social media as well. So let us know.
Well, Laura, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Good to see you here.
Yeah, Laura Pavin, one of WPR's producers here in the morning show, and Wisconsin Public Radio director Mike Crane stays with us because this is Mondays with Mike. We're gathering your insights, your feedback, your questions, all things WPR at 800-642-1234. What do you like most about WPR? What can we do to improve your experience on air, online, streaming from your smart speaker? Call in, tweet us, WPR Mornings. When we come back, we'll talk more about content, get some insights from you. Stay with us. Mondays with Mike continues in just a moment on the Ideas Network. You're with us for another installment of Mondays with Mike on the morning show. Wisconsin Public Radio's director, Mike Crane, is here in the studio, in the flesh. I'm Kate Archer Kent. What do you like most about WPR? What can we change to improve your experience? What questions do you have about programming? Join in the conversation this hour at 800-642-1234. Email your question to ideas@wpr.org. Let's go to the phones now with Willem joining us from Colfax. Hi, Willem.
Hi, good morning. I guess I'm sort of missing the longer formats that they used to have, you know, with Kathleen Dunn and you and Margaret Andreessen, and back when there would be hour-long shows and callers would call in, and often the guests would comment on the quality of the calls and how interesting they were, and conversations would develop, and now I feel like it's sort of short snippets. The callers are often cut short, and so Minnesota Public Radio still has that older format, and I really miss that. And like they carried a William Barr testimony for the whole hearing, which I thought was interesting. And that was, I thought, a service to the public to be able to listen to a whole hearing. And they did the same when the president's lawyer was in a hearing. So I guess I miss those sort of in-depth more
letting it breathe moments on radio,
having,
right?
Have the callers take the conversation to different places, so guests can't just come on, and because I hear the same guests on other radio stations, and they're just saying their script, and the callers would take them off of that prepared statements and get them into different places.
Willem, thanks so much for bringing that to the table.
Yeah, it's there are a couple of different points that you raise, Willem, I want to touch on. One is certainly that we are in our WPR-generated shows doing more different segments than we used to. We still do some hours like today, but we're taking the idea that more topics can be on the Ideas Network if we're not always taking an hour to talk about them, because some topics just they don't seem to support an hour-long call-in. Others, we try. And I think anyone in the studio or behind the scenes here will tell you that it's an endless dance because you do your best to set up the conversation and pick the right guests, and sometimes the calls are awesome, and sometimes we don't know why generate as many calls as we might
like.
They
just don't come.
They just don't come. And,
for and one it, reason or another.
So it's like an endless improvisation. So that's one of the things that's going on. And we do very much take to heart, you and other listeners have told us they'd like more longer form sorts of shows. And so we do try to do some of those. As for the hearings, that's also a challenge to figure out because they can be in the ears of other people. Endless. And so we try to make an on-the-spot decision about whether to carry, first of all, but also how long to carry the broadcast, that sort of thing. And it's in some ways the same sort of dance. Thanks very much for the comments.
Yeah, or whether to even stream or on air. I mean, there are now options in this day and age.
Yeah, and in fact, a lot of times we have a streaming offering even when there isn't an offering on the radio. And in most places, that works pretty well now. And even a few years ago, that wasn't the case.
Let's go to Dave now, joining us from Grand Chute. Hi, Dave.
Good morning. I really miss the Friday morning at 8 o'clock program, the political back and forth. Is there any chance you're going to bring that back or something like it?
Possibly. I've actually talked about it, Dave. Thanks for bringing it up. One of the things we found in producing that is that it was exceedingly difficult to pull it together. And a lot of times, and this maybe relates a little bit to something that Willem said, people would tell us they feel like we were getting talking points rather than a deep conversation. And I'd say in the 11 or so years I've been here, we've also just had an ongoing debate internally about the value of sort of point-counterpoint discussions, because sometimes it doesn't actually get us deeper into the topic. That said, we hear you, and it is something that we're talking about. Of course, there's still a similar segment on during On Point just an hour later, and that's also part of the dance is we have to make sure we cover something different or the hour will feel very much the same for 2 hours.
Sure.
I don't know if you want to add anything to that, Kate. But
yeah, I really don't. And it's an evolution. And the morning show having gone through changes. And so we are just, you know, trying to figure it out along the way. But Week in Review is something that we do know, you know, listeners really respond to.
Yeah.
So it's... you know, just keeping that present as well. We're Mondays with Mike Crane, director of Wisconsin Public Radio. You can join in with your comments, your questions about the work being done here at WPR. We're at 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org. Let's go to David now, joining us from Ironwood, Michigan. Hi, David.
I just want to encourage more coverage on the global warming stuff. Also, when you just look, comment about talking points. It is when there have been several times where someone making a real good point and you kind of cut them short to get other people on, and the people who get on are just like, if someone is really making a good point and they seem to know what they're talking about, give them a little bit more time to explain it, what I call it. But you know,
yep.
And I'd rather have quality over quantity.
Quantity, sure.
Yeah, there is definitely a competing urge we have in taking phone calls because we want to get a lot of voices in, and we also want to hear what people have to say without cutting them off as much as possible. And there is also a harsh reality we have every single minute, pretty much, mm-hmm. which is that we're watching the clock and knowing that the newscast is coming up, or we have to take a break for local station identification and messaging, or all of those sorts of things. And it is helpful to hear your thoughts, though.
And to his point on covering climate issues, I think certainly in recent weeks, the morning show has done a lot of coverage and conversation around climate. And we also partnered with, to the best of our knowledge, on their Hope series, and we certainly talked about the climate through that series. To the best of our knowledge, produced right here at Wisconsin Public Radio, they just concluded the series, and we featured some of the series right here on the morning show. Can you tell us, Mike, what about the series caught your attention?
One of the things that was an article that producer Shannon Kleiber, who was heard mm-hmm. right here, had written and ended up in the Washington Post just the other day. And so, of course, it was shared in all of our emails and everything like that. And one of the things that she said she learned from the series about hope is that hope is complicated. And that, among other things, she finds hope in looking at how her children are maybe going to change the world because of the way that they think and the things they experience. She talked about how she, entering into it, wasn't sure there was a lot of hope, mm-hmm. but that, in fact, in talking to all kinds of experts, whether psychologists or religious people or whatever, that there is reason to hope in our lives, and people find it. It's a really interesting series and worth checking out at ttbook.org.
Absolutely. Let's go to Nancy now, joining us from Madison. Hi, Nancy.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. I would underscore very much what the last several callers have said. I've listened for years, and I've become really more disappointed with the morning show. It isn't necessarily as interesting. I agree that people are cut off. And the music that's being played on many shows while people are talking makes it almost impossible to hear what's being said. So I'm more disappointed than I am satisfied a lot of the time now. I still support it, but I guess I want to see more meat.
More meat.
Yes, where I'm coming from. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Nancy.
Thanks for the comment, Nancy. Certainly you're echoing some things that others are saying, so we'll leave that to stand. But another comment you made was about the music that you hear.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things we're certainly trying to do is to make sure that the shows sound contemporary and lively and all of that. But once in a while, and I think you've pointed out how that can happen, we miss on what I call the car radio test, which is if you're driving the car and it's noisy and so on, can you hear the voices while having the music play? And so it's a good reminder for us to pay very close attention to that as we do it.
And Nancy, also, I have to say that when we are getting close to having to take a break and that guest is just talking and in a really interesting point, and yet that break is a firm break and we can't break that break. So you'll hear that music coming up in the background. And
like in the Academy Awards,
exactly,
right?
Exactly, right?
We're going to play them out.
That should be a little bit of a trigger. And we tell that to our guests, every guest, that if you hear music in the background, please wrap up the thought as you can, and we will take it from there. But, you know, that might also be another indicator of what you're hearing, Nancy, is that cue to please wrap up. As we are going to do right now, you've got a line to WPR's director, Mike Crane. I'm not escorting you out here, Mike, so you best stick in your chair. We're gathering perspectives on this edition of Mondays with Mike. 800-642-1234. What do you want to hear more of? What do you like less of? What has WPR been of service to you? And where do you see room for improvement? You can call in, email ideas at WPR.org. Coming up, we have details on a new park crawl event, a free event coming up in Madison Parks. We'll get all the details after this news update on the Ideas Network. You're with us for Mondays with Mike here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent, and it's your questions and comments that are front and center this hour. As WPR Director Mike Crane is in studio with us, he's fielding your calls, telling us about the neat things on the horizon for WPR. So what's your favorite program? What would you like to hear more of or less of? Is there something going on in your area that you think needs to be addressed, needs attention? We're all ears. 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Tweet us at WPR Mornings. Now, Mike, you just got back from NPR meetings in Washington over the weekend. You were at the mothership. So what was the talk like?
It's always fascinating to be at NPR. I should say I'm a member of the board of NPR for another couple of years, and I had the opportunity to do that because member stations like ours elect fellow member directors like me to be a part of the board, along with community volunteers from all around the country. Excuse me. And our basic job is to help NPR to function from a governance standpoint. What it means, though, in terms of the trip, is that we often get exposed to something amazing that NPR is doing. For instance, at the meeting, they shared some information and some clips from a series they did about anger. And among the things we learned is that anger is not all bad. And this was really interesting. We learned that people experience anger very differently. There isn't one way of experiencing anger. It's not always about flooding and feeling a certain way. It can be even in different cultures, they process anger in different ways. And there are all kinds of fun details that are worth exploring on that. So you might check out NPR.org and look for the anger series. Also, we talked a lot about creating the building blocks to knit public radio together more completely in order to expand our capacity for journalism. And that means seeking philanthropic support together with NPR and stations that we were talking about, and in building up our journalism network. So around the entire world, there are about 500 NPR journalists. And yet there's
500.
Also, yeah, and that's really not a lot to cover the entire world. Mm-hmm. And then one of the things that NPR folks will do, sometimes we tease them about, is they'll compare themselves to the New York Times. Well, New York Times has 1,300 journalists. Mm-hmm. NPR has 500. However, if you count all of the journalists that are at stations like ours, the actual number of journalists goes way up, because there are another 1,200 journalists at public radio stations all around the country. So the idea of the journalism network is for us to more completely knit ourselves together so that we can do a better job looking for trends, covering all of the different things going on, and finding those things that are happening in one place that might be of interest in many places. And we do that all the time, like we were talking earlier about all of the experiences that your team had in Superior. all of that stuff is relevant to all of us around the state and around the nation in many cases. So that was a big focus of the meetings at NPR, is building that journalism network and all of the underlying technology and funding to make it really happen. Because one of the things that we're very worried about is that there are developing news deserts, places where people really can't get daily news. And public radio can be a part of making sure that there are oases in those deserts, if not really completely fulfilling all of those needs that are getting missing in many communities.
Well, before we go back to calls, there are a lot of events to talk about this time of year and this time around. And our favorite events are these listener appreciation events. I know they're my favorite. So what do we have going on in the summer here?
Well, we just had one this past weekend at Havenwood State Forest in Milwaukee. And I'll be really interested to hear the reports from that as people get to work today. Coming up on May 9th in La Crosse at the La Crosse Distillery, we'll be there with listeners and members of our staff and just really enjoying the opportunity to mingle and have a good time together. And then in Appleton, May 16th, we'll be at Riverview Gardens. And in Merrill, on June 15th, we will be at the Sawmill Brewing Company. And there's more. We'll get to that in a minute. But basically, the idea is these are free events to connect with, and we just ask you to take a look at wpr.org/presents to register so we have a good idea of who might be coming.
Absolutely. Let's go to Janice now, joining us from La Crosse. Hi, Janice.
Yes. Hi. Good morning, Kay. I'm so excited. And Mike, I have to just tell you, this is the first time I've actually turned you on since the elections. I couldn't handle it anymore because I'm just going to be honest with you. I felt it was very much biased for me to listen to, and I thought, no, I can't take it any longer. I'm Catholic, you know, conservative, pro-life person, but I thought, no, we need to have balanced. I want to see balanced reporting, and you guys sound wonderful. I'm so thrilled. I told the girl on the when I called in, I said, this first time I've felt actually good listening to Wisconsin Public Radio, and I really do mean that. I feel, you know, I said I want unbiased reporting. Just give me the facts, you know, and both sides, you know. I mean, this is a polarized place right now, and it's unfortunate. And for me, Mike and Kate, I'd love you to do a program on term limits.
Okay.
Term limits, get out. Both sides, just get out. So we can get back down to getting things done, working with the truth, you know, what's good for our community, our state, you know, the world, the nation, you know, who's ever in there, we have to get behind them and make the best of whatever's going on here. But I love that kind of, like I said, unbiased and balanced reporting, and I love that. And one more thing, I loved it when that man said, you know, the hour-long program. Yes, because it was great, because someone would say something, and that's the dialogue. This is what you get on the radio that you wouldn't get somewhere else, this kind of venue of dialogue, and then someone can call, oh, that is interesting. Oh,
and
yes,
it feeds on the next person. Yeah, Janice, thanks
right,
for
it. You feed on the next person, and then just what Mike just said about journalism, I thought, oh, perfect. And you're coming to La Crosse. I just realized that's wonderful. I'll be there. But, I mean, well, it's like this is really good because we could be doing so much more for journalism. And I'm talking about our own local paper there. Like, get this feedback. I said, this is your community. You want to be doing everything that you can to be helpful to the community, not so much negative, you know, reporting that is depressing, you know.
Janice, thanks for being back and giving us another shot. I appreciate it.
Yeah, I really appreciate the enthusiasm, you know, going back about as far as any of us know at Wisconsin Public Radio and the stations that we used to just call the state stations. We've been trying to do what you're describing. We're not on a side other than the side of Wisconsin. And being able to draw people out and talk about the issues that matter, that's a big deal. And we feel very privileged to be a part of that and to have made that connection with you. Thanks, Janice.
Yeah. Where do we find all the voices for a conversation? And that certainly is part of our editorial meetings every day. Do we have all the voices at the table? Can we talk about this without finding a particular type of person who has this to say? And then where will that conversation take us? So very important. Janice, again, thanks for giving us another shot. Let's go to Carla now in Stevens Point. Carla, hi. Oh, Carla, are you there? Maybe not. Let's try.
Oh, darn.
I'm here.
You are here, Carla. Yeah. Scramble, 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 and Carla's here.
I didn't realize I was going to be speaking with you. I have a technical question. The show that replaces Prairie Home Companion, now I believe it's called Live From Here.
Yes.
I have so frequently heard people call in begging to have that show not on, or at least have an alternative. And that's what I'm doing. I'm just saying, if you insist on keeping that show on for 2 hours every weekend, is there a chance you could please give us an alternate on the other, on your other channel, either the classical music channel or the Ideas, one or the other, but not both. Is there any chance of that happening?
So you don't like Live From Here, then?
Not a fan of Luke Burbank, apparently. Yeah.
Well, Luke Burbank's a different show. That's Live Wire.
Oh, Live Wire. I'm sorry, yeah. Live From Here. Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Chris Thiele, for those who maybe haven't heard it, that is the replacement show for A Prairie Home mm-hmm. Companion, and it's become a somewhat different show. And Carla, you're not the first to tell me you dislike it, although we, as happens, not unlike what Janice was talking about, we get, someone hears something and then they disagree with it. So mm-hmm. we might well, if we have time in the next few minutes, get a call to someone that loves Live From Here. But it certainly is a very different show, and the main challenge we feel with changing the schedule at that time is, what would we put there? Prairie Home Companion was an extremely powerful and popular show for us for many years, and we've felt like we should give Live From Here a chance to develop its own following. And that actually applies to a lot of things we talk about here. You know, we've heard a lot today already of one or another thing that people wish hadn't changed or so on. And when I reflect just on the time I've been here, all the change that WPR has undergone has been amazing.
Your decade.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man. We had Jim Fleming was the host of To the Best of Our Knowledge, and Joy Cardine hosted our morning program, and on and on and on. And yet, thank goodness, we found a lot of really great stuff and great people to host our programs. And one of the experiences I've had doing Mondays with Mike now for pretty much that whole time is that eventually the new folks, the new shows, they become the ones that people talk about just like the old ones. And it's certainly our hope that that will always continue, that now at 102 years old or so, that we keep finding things to fascinate and draw you in and to get better when we don't. And so thank you for those comments, Carla. And at the moment, I don't have an alternative, but I do take it to heart.
Gathering up all your insights, your aha moments, your driveway moments, the things that make you laugh and cry, all of it. Bring it on, because it's Mondays with Mike on The Morning Show. WPR's director Mike Crane is here taking in what you have to say, offering some insights in return. You have a line, 800-642-1234. You can go and tweet us at WPR Mornings. When we come back, we'll hear more from you. Let's keep the conversation going strong right here on the Ideas Network. Here with us for Mondays with Mike here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent, and it's your questions and comments that are front and center this hour as WPR Director Mike Crane is in the studio with us. And we're all ears. 800-642-1234. Email your comments to ideas@WPR.org. Always tweet us, WPR Mornings. Mike, we were running through the list of fabulous events happening this summer, and I want to pause there on a park crawl in Madison on the 18th.
This is a fun new idea. We're going to spend part of Saturday, May 18th, visiting different parks around Madison. So from 11 to noon, we'll be at, I think of it as Rennie's Park, but Rennebaum Park and the shelter there. And you're going to be there.
I'm going to be there. I'm going to walk over because it's so close. Brady on ATC is going to be there as well, my neighbor. So we're just going to walk over.
And other WPR folks will also be from 1 to 2 p.m. We'll be at Demitral Park at the shelter there. And Rob Ferret from Central Time is among the folks that will be there. And then 3 to 4 p.m. at Penn Park, and that will include Higher Ground host Dr. Overby and Stephanie Elkins from Morning Classics, news director Noah Shinsky, and more. So we hope maybe you'll have a chance to stop by at your park. And again, you'll find all of our event stuff at WPR.org/events. And I'm sorry, at Presents.
Presents. and fans of Larry Mueller will have a lot to look forward to because Bayfield in Bloom is happening later this week, actually.
Yeah, I'm bummed I won't get to be there this time. It is so much fun to be at Bayfield in Bloom, and Larry loves it, as does everybody there. We do a live broadcast as Bayfield sort of enters into the spring, and it becomes in bloom, as they say.
I think Larry's been there almost since the inception, like 17 years.
Yep, that's right.
We were talking about that in Superior.
May 10th is the live broadcast from Bayfield in Bloom.
Well, let's go back to the phones now with Richard joining us from Milwaukee. Hi, Richard.
Hi, I just want to put in a vote for Live from Here. I mean, no show can fully replace Prairie Home Companion, but Live from Here, the guy is intelligent, the music is fantastic, and it's smart, it's funny. No, they need some time to you know, build that show. I mean, Prairie Home Companion was not made overnight, the success of that show. So, no, Live from Here is extraordinarily good.
Richard, thanks so much.
You know, one of the things we talk about among the program directors in public radio is that it is much easier to lose audience for a bad show than to gain audience for a good one. And so, you know, we do our best to make sure it's a good show that we put on the radio. And it takes a while. People come to love it or not, of course. But we are going to give Live from Here some time, as you suggest, Richard, and thanks for the comment. And I can't say I'm entirely surprised that we got your call, given the earlier call from Carla about how much she dislikes the show.
Well, let's go to Frank now, joining us from Wausau. Good morning, Frank.
Hi, this is Frank from Wausau. And a couple of things. One, I miss Kevin McKinley show on Tuesday from 8 to 9. And secondly, I miss the Friday point-counterpoint discussion that was, I think, also from 8 to 9. You know, they have some regularly scheduled topics each week. I would sort of plan accordingly. One other comment also is there's an author that's written a book called The Tyranny of Metrics. I don't know if familiar with it, but Jerry Mueller, M-U-L-L-E-R, is the author, and he's a professor from American University and written a very eye-opening book on the fact that human performance is quantitated and that pay is based on performance and so forth. And it's a very rigorously written book with a very good...
So that might be a good author interview.
Thank you for allowing me to speak.
Thank you.
Thanks for the call. And yeah, we'll definitely look into that. You know, metrics comes up in all kinds of things. It comes up at work for sure. You know, everyone wants to know, what's your dashboard? How are you doing from a metric standpoint? And you had me thinking about this smartwatch I have and how I count my steps. I like the metrics in that case, but they can have a kind of tyranny to them. I didn't make my steps. you have to fight that urge to say, well, then I'm never going to make the steps.
That's right. Well, thank you, Frank, for that. And let's go to Mitch now in Green Bay. Mitch, hi.
Hello. I've got two things. One is that when you put the music on in the beginning or at the end, that for people in my age bracket, that gets very difficult for us to sort it out. And it's very difficult for an older person to sort these out. I have a little bit of hearing problem, but this compounds it, especially when I want to take down people's names or something about a program that I like, and it's all buried in that music, and I can't get it. The other item is that if you have a number we could call in when there's either dead air or a different program thrown in and we don't even know what's going on, I would like to have that so that we could do that. Maybe we will get you some information that you don't normally have.
Great. Thank you so much for those comments.
Yeah, and we talked about the music beds. It is something we have to really be on guard for, and you're right, especially it's partly perhaps people are older, but I think the real key is people with hearing loss, and that particularly if you're missing some frequencies, which happens to a lot of us as we age, that's a challenge. And then the number for dead air would generally be the same number that you'd always contact for listener services and even the email listener at WPR.org. We do also have a lot of systems in place that are monitoring that. During the day, of course, there's actually someone in the studio, and at those odd hours where there isn't someone, we have our central control room that's based at the Educational Communications Board, and they're spot listening all the time and are aware of what should be there, and stuff happens, and we certainly appreciate the contacts. And I'd say even if you don't reach a person at the time, it's really helpful to leave a message or to send the email, because we keep track of all kinds of problems. And this was something that was hard for us to do at first when we started doing this, which is to encourage staff people even to report the mistakes that they made or that occurred on their shift, because, you know, they didn't want to be caught or something. We're like, no. We're a learning organization. The more that we're aware of those things happening, the more we can try to address them and make sure they don't happen again.
Yeah, absolutely. Discrepancies, so important to know about. And that number is 800-747-7444 for audience services, 800-747-7444. We can take another call here. Jenny in Green Bay is with us. Hi, Jenny.
Hi, good morning. I'm so glad to speak with you. I have a concern. I always listen to a morning program on Sunday morning. It was my favorite. I would never miss it. And it was replaced by It's Been a Minute, which I'm disappointed with. Is there any way we could get the other one back on? And why was it pulled?
Not sure. Do you mean on the media? Is that the one you're talking about?
I'm trying to think what the name of it was, but it was the one that was replaced in the morning on Sunday morning. It also, I think, was on Saturday.
So I'll have to look back at all the schedules, because it gets to be a blur for us after a little while. But I am interested to know, too, you're just not happy with It's Been a Minute. It doesn't
strike
your fancy.
Not at all. The other one was so much more sophisticated, knowledgeable, and everything, things that you wanted to know about what's going on in the world.
Okay. Well, thanks for the comment, Jenny, and we'll definitely look into that. And so I don't have an answer simply because I'm not recalling exactly which program that was, but probably we'll get an email or a call in minutes telling us
Mike. Exactly what it was.
And that's just fine. We love to hear from everybody.
Well, as we wrap here, last few seconds, anything else you're really looking forward to this spring on WPR?
I'm excited by something else that is coming up in the realm of events. It's the Simply Folk Shindig, celebrating 40th anniversary of Simply Folk. That'll be June 7th in Shannon Hall at the UW-Madison campus. And Dan Robinson will be welcoming Dom Flemons and Mary Gaucher, along with Madison favorite Chris Plata. And we'll have a chance to celebrate 40 years of just wonderful music on Sunday afternoons.
That will be amazing. Yeah. So amazing. Well, thanks so much for coming by.
Yeah, you bet. WPR.org/presents.
Mike Crane is the director of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. It's The Morning Show. You're listening to the Ideas Network.